Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everybody. It is a beautiful Thursday night, and I, for one, am so excited that the sun has finally come out. I never thought the winter would end. So without further ado, because the show goes so fast, I want to introduce you tonight to my very special guest. I've been asking him now, like I usually do with most of my guests, for years. Hey, Tom, come on. I want you to come on my show. So I want to introduce the wonderful Tom Cunningham, who is the host of the extremely popular radio show, Bruce Brunch, one via 105.7 The Hawk. So welcome, Tom, to Ryan Rocks at Asbury Park Style.
Hey, Nancy, thank you for nailing me down here. Thanks for having me.
Oh, I'm so excited about it. It's true. It's kind of the way it was going. I just had a friend of mine saying to me, sent me a text saying, hey, you're really good friends, and I won't mention names, you're really good friends with so-and-so, right? And I'm like, oh, yes, definitely. Yeah, and so is my brother. And, I asked this other person that he was asking me about to be on my show for the same amount, for 3 years, same thing, you know. And I had met him doing a documentary about Bruce Springsteen, his friends and fans, and it wasn't the page, the group, it was something else, it was people from Italy. So it's the same thing. It was the same thing with him, for 3 years, and then finally I had him on my show, and it was, so awesome. And so I'm so excited that you're on, and it's just
well,
really
we need
great.
To make this even more better awesome, extra special awesome. So the bar has been set for awesome here.
Oh, yeah. Awesome. It's awesomeness for sure. And I thought, I really haven't – I'm trying to think. I mean, I've been challenged. I have had some – been interviewed myself for my music. But I'm thinking of it I actually have mentored a few people into radio, which was really great awesomeness. But I'm thinking who – I really haven't had a national – radio show host on my show. So I hope I'm not wrong about this because it's been over 5 years. I'm thinking I'm trying to multitask my 71-year-old brain and it's not working. I think you're my first national show host that I've had on. So it's an honor for me and a pleasure.
I'm honored.
Yeah, thank you. I've had many TV. I've had TV celebrities and music people and authors and lots of Bruce-related people, of course, because Bruce is the tops, right? He's the top.
He's the boss.
He's the boss. Yeah.
So
tell me, I'm going to ask you a quick question, and then we're going to just talk and have fun because that's what my show is supposed to be all about: is fun, fun, fun. And if I talk too much, just say, "Hey, Nancy, hello." And I have my chatter teeth in front of me, too. So they're supposed to remind me to keep quiet. The question is, who influenced you the most while you were growing up, and why?
Well, that would certainly be my parents. And they were both excellent, not only excellent parents, but excellent people. And they were, I had a brother and a sister, and we had a family of five, and it was a great growing up experience, of course, here in New Jersey, which is where hopefully everyone had a chance to grow up. They were just, very attentive as parents, very... they wanted us to succeed, so they make sure that, that the path that we wanted to grow into and live our adult lives on was something that was a tangible goal for all of us. And, we were all able to accomplish, what we wanted to.
Right.
And it was a great, growing up in the 60s, I would say being a kid in the 60s and then the 70s was a great time to be a kid. Much different world than it is now, needless to say. And, you know, it was like growing up in Ozzie and Harriet's backyard almost. It was really terrific. And, you know, they were great parents. And one of the things about our house is that there was always music. There was music all over the place. My father was a big jazz aficionado, a big band aficionado.
Oh, cool.
And a big Sinatra guy. And
my mother would
always have on the top 40 radio. So I would get, you know, all the hits. And then the girl next door was a Beatles freak. So, you know, we were finding out about the Beatles right from the get-go because she was all about it.
Right, right. Wow, we have really, you know, similar backgrounds, definitely. And I too, grew up in the 60s and always feel so blessed to have grown up. I grew up in Asbury Park, right on Fifth Avenue, not Sunset. But I remember skating on Sunset Lake. In any case, it was like so awesome to grow up in this area. I have so many fond memories that I share, and that people came here from all over the world way before we were even thought about being born. And, you know, I've read a little bit of history on it. And, you know, even Grant, I mean, when they were doing the buggies up and down Ocean Avenue, they were having, like, big dinners and celebrating life and doing, like, this was a place where people, you know, traveled. Once there was air and sea travel, people were coming to Asbury Park forever, pretty much. And I remember, like, the Monte Carlo pool, my grandmother would take me, but I come from a really big Irish Catholic, and I just found out, hello, Austrian. I have Austrian in my blood, and I didn't, my uncle says, because I always put 50-50 Irish-German right down the line, so my uncle puts on Facebook Live, hello, Austria, you're Irish-Austrian. So I said, wait, no, my mother had German in her. But anyway, getting back to you, and you were very blessed to have parents that, like, nurtured and took care of you. There were seven children in my family. I'm the oldest girl, Billy Volume, guitarman, and, of course, is my oldest brother.
And yeah, he's a hell of a guitar player, that Billy Ryan.
Oh, yes, he is. And, oh, Bruce loved my brother, Billy. I mean, they've been playing together for years. He wanted, I don't know if you're aware of this, but I've said it before, I think, on radio. He asked Billy, Billy's 5 years older than Bruce, and Bruce asked Billy to be his lead guitarist, and Billy said, God, you know, I'm just having another baby. My business is taking off. I really can't go on tour, you know, and he made that choice, and that was fine. Because a few years later, when he was able to do something, he went on tour with, he was the lead guitarist with James Cotton Blues Band. And he was more of a jazz blues guitarist anyway. And then he went on tour for a year and a half with Clarence Clemons and the Red Bank Whoppers. But Bruce and Billy still play together. They are really close, close of friends. And I have lots of stories, but I'm not telling them tonight because I want you to tell me your stories. Because because that's what my guests are supposed to do. And I loved Clarence, by the way. I met Clarence in my brother's kitchen when I was like in my early 30s. And that's when I met Bruce, too. So I'm a long time knowing Bruce for a long time and Gary Talent. And I know most all the E Street band members. They know who I am as well. So, getting back to you, Tom.
Well, everybody knows who you are. Absolutely.
Well, now they do. I mean, well, they do now because I promote so much. I mean, you know, I just, after my CD came out, I fell in love with music in New York City at Joey Reynolds' show. And within a few weeks, I was sitting just like, you know, at my laptop, and I saw this guy saying, hey, Nancy Ryan, if you're out there, come with us. And it was actually Hamilton Radio, who was the number one internet radio station, but they're also the number one radio station in the state of New Jersey, and I was with them 2.5 years. And I'm so grateful to Gene Pirro because I learned so much. Like, that was my beginning. Well, I began alone solo, but then I really want to talk about you because How did you start out? Like, when I've seen lots of pictures of you so young and with many celebrities, and like, what was your first job about? Like, what did you do for your very first job in your life?
My very, very first job? To make money, it was a paper boy.
That's what I thought you were going to say. I have a little
you know,
ESP.
I mean, I was an altar boy, but that didn't I didn't get paid for that. But I got paid in different ways for being an altar boy.
Exactly.
But yeah, paper boy.
Job. So you were raised to be industrious and to go to work and make money. And I was worked on the boardwalk at Coors Ice Cream, and we also had orange, freshly squeezed orange juice. That was my very first job. And I always worked. I was very ambitious. I wanted that money. You know, I did it. So anyway, but what brought you into like the entertainment business?
I'm sorry,
because
pardon?
I said, what brought you into the entertainment business? Because you are in the entertainment business.
Yeah, well, I went to college at the University of Dayton, and I was a broadcasting major, and I worked really industriously to be a part of the college radio station, and I was able to do that. I was the one of the music critics at our college newspaper, and you know, it was clear that somehow there was going to be a rock and roll musical path to my life, which I was all about. And then when I was 20, I got a job at the rock station in town there. And I took my experience from being a college disc jockey, and then I started, I turned pro when I was still in school. I was a junior in college.
Oh.
I was 20
when
I got my first on-air job.
Yeah, that is, now that's awesome that you've been doing this. I knew that you had a lot of experience in this business, but I had no idea that you've been doing this since you were 20 years old, and that's really cool. So kudos to you. And it's
I was lucky.
Yeah, yes, it's a rough business. There's a lot of competition out there. It keeps getting, you know, more and more competition today. But I just have always been around. When you mentioned Frank Sinatra, when I was only 2.5 years old, Frank Sinatra was at the Phillips Avenue Beach in Deal, New Jersey, and my mother was a very beautiful woman. She kind of looked like Meryl Streep, but she wasn't a shrimp like me. My mother was like 5'7.5", and even after, well, it was just me when I was little. Of course, there weren't all those children, but still, my mother had a wonderful, beautiful figure, too. And so she was walking up from the ocean, up the beach to where the snack bar was, and Frank Sinatra was walking down. And he actually looked at my mother, and he looked at me. He probably just wanted to talk to my mother. But he said, "What a cute little girl. What's her name?" And this is a true story. And my mother said, "Her name is Nancy." And he said, "Well, that's my daughter's name." And my mother said, "I know. That's why I named her that. My name's Elizabeth Nancy." But when my mother got me home, she just thought I was more of a Nancy than my grandmother's name, Elizabeth. So I've been Nancy forever. But that's a story. My mother, I actually have Frank Sinatra's autograph. And too bad it was in pencil. It was on the back of the beach stub for the day. And I have it, but it's like fading over the years. But you can still see that it's Frank Sinatra. My mother was in love with him, like so many women, and me too as well. I mean, I grew up listening to my mother. He was a singer, by the way. Anyway, back to you, because, you know, I take off because, you know, we both had similar, not that I was paid or had a big radio show, but I was in and around the music business, like nobody's business, really, in the backgrounds a lot. I think it took me a long time to, like, I was a troubadour. Like, I didn't want to, oh, here we go. See, that's what happens. So you have to say, "No, Nancy, get back to me. So you have been doing this for so long. And when did you start getting involved? I mean, I know you've been a Bruce Springsteen enthusiast probably forever. I know what I want to ask you. What was your first concert? What was your very first concert that you attended?
Well, very first live music that I ever saw was not something that was planned, but it was very cool nonetheless. We were on the boardwalk in Atlantic City on the Steel Pier.
Okay.
I guess it would have to been like 67 or 68. And the Bee Gees were playing a show for the disc jockey out of Philadelphia, Joe Niagara, who was on WIBG, Wibbage Radio. And the Beach Boys were right there on the boardwalk. Our parents let us, you know, hang around. I guess we saw like probably three or four songs. Massachusetts, New York Mining Disaster are two that are very top of mind to this day. So that's the first live music I ever saw. First concert I ever went to is still one of the best concerts I ever went to. David Bowie and Ziggy Stardust and Spiders from Mars tour. And that was at the Tower Theater in Upper Darby, the legendary Tower Theater. And we were in the fifth row. It was a matinee show, and I'd never seen anything like that, needless to say. And haven't seen anything like that since then. So that was the first show I ever saw, and what a way to get your mind blown.
There were many
sexual fluid people, let's say. And to my 16-year-old brain, it was quite the thing. But I'll never forget that. The first arena show that I ever saw was Blue Oyster Cult, who was at the Spectrum. They were at the Spectrum, and that's the first arena show that I ever saw. But
Bowie
at the Tower. I mean, what a great first show! My goodness.
Right. Well, I do have to interject that absolutely adore the Bee Gees and the Beach Boys, and I lived in California for like 28 years. And I also was at Madison Square Garden backstage and was about probably closer than 2 feet to David Bowie. And it was a very awesome experience for me because I just thought that he was one of the most unique people, artists ever. And that was in my 30s. I was doing a lot of seeing a lot of people in those days and had the opportunity to actually meet and take like Peter Frampton to a concert and a lot of very exciting things. But I just want to share like my very first concert in my life was at Convention Hall, and it was to see Stevie Wonder.
Wow.
And when Stevie Wonder was only like 15, I think, years old or something, and he was walked out on the stage to his piano, and it was a solo concert, and it was the most intense experience of my life. And then I went from that to seeing my favorite guy, like basketball, to seeing the Harlem Globetrotters inside Convention Hall. Oh, and then, of course, it went on and on. So Gracie Slick, I saw her in Convention Hall. So anyway, those are very impressionable days. That I think that set the stage to my, well, actually, like what you shared earlier about music being all around, that was the same thing in my house. Like my mother had a trillion albums, and there was constantly music on, and she had a wide variety of likes. So she was, anything from like the classics to a big band to my dad loved Victory at Sea, and we listened to everything. She had Willie Nelson. I have Willie Nelson albums I inherited. God bless my mom. She's up in heaven now for 7 years. But what a great upbringing. And then, of course, listening to my brother Billy, I got into that music very early with him. He taught me my first few chords on the guitar, and that's when I started writing songs. And,
wow.
I sang it. I went to parochial school. We all did for my whole life. And I sang, you know, we did five-part harmonies in Latin in church. And it was a great... like somebody asked me once, well, have you ever taken singing lessons? And I said, no. And then I thought about it and I thought, well, I guess all those years in parochial school, that must have helped me a little bit. Other than I think.
Yeah, the nuns made sure that you knew what you were doing. Absolutely.
Yeah. I thought when I was really young that I was going to be a big star, but then I really did. I thought because everyone was telling me, my God, you have a fabulous voice. You are so talented and like that. But I was shy, very shy. And that's why I was lazy too. I never wanted to go on tour. So this is why it comes back to me when I talk to, you know, people like you, because it brings my memories back. But I want your memories. So I want to talk about your, I have to always pull myself back into my past. Because I lived the life as well, and it's so hard to not, start share. Me. You know, I don't want to do that. So, okay. So you've been doing Bruce Bunch for quite a few years, I saw. I mean, I do my homework, and I did read about you as much as I could find.
Uh-oh.
I usually Google people. Oh, yeah, I do. I Google people, and then, of course, I looked at all your pages and scrolled all the way as far back as I could go and all that. So, I mean, you've been at this a long time, meeting a lot of people and living the life, and knowing a lot about it. So, you know, just tell me what you want to tell me about your Bruce Brunch and how you created the name and what it means and how, you know, tell me about it.
Well, the Bruce Brunch has been on 105.7 The Hawk at the Jersey Shore for, we're coming up on our 15th anniversary in December.
I didn't know that.
And, it's over 700 and it's like 748 shows now, I want to say, something like that.
Holy moly.
The show's on from 9 to 11, so the gentleman who was the program director at the time, he made the name. He called it, he didn't want to call it the Bruce Breakfast or Breakfast with Bruce, or
right.
He wanted to call it the Bruce Brunch, and I was just so eager to do the show. And I like brunch, that I said, I'm all about it. If you want to call it whatever, I'm gonna come in there and do it.
Because I like brunch because I'm up all night. I'm a night owl. I'm never up for breakfast. It's got to be 11 or 12 o'clock, or earliest 11. So that's
there you go.
People like us. That's
so yeah, the show's on
people.
From 9 to 11, and that's how he came up with the name for the show.
It's 9 from 11 in the morning? Or night?
In the morning.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, in the morning, and 9 to 11 on Sunday mornings.
But are the shows all archived so people can go listen to the shows? Like the old shows
are archived or not? They're posted every week on the Bruce Brunch Facebook page. That's where they are archived. They're there.
Cool. That's what I like
about
what I'm doing now, is that I came back. When I left Hamilton, I had to, here goes my other phone, which I can't really unplug it because it's hooked up to my system, but people should know not to call me at this hour. I turned off my answer machine, so nobody will be talking. It just won't. I apologize, folks, for the ringing in the background. I have a feeling I know who it is. Now, you know, don't call me on a Thursday. Anyway, it should only ring four times. Stop it already. But I can't unplug it because then I have no internet connection. Okay, it's gone. Getting back to 15 years. Wow, that is a long time. I've only been in radio 5 years, and I'm like, and I only did two shows a month, sometimes three because... I wanted to just say when I went on my, I started with by myself, doing like a half an hour solo show. Hi, this is Nancy Ryan, Ryan Oster, Asbury Park Stuff. And then, you know, I'm with Hamilton for 2.5 years. And then I went on my own because the weather in New Jersey is very difficult to drive to Trenton from, you know, West Long Branch, where I am right now. And I had a lot of artists, Lily Nile used to always say to me, I want to be on your show, Nancy, but it's so far for me. I can't, you know, he's in upstate New York. I can't. So the minute that I went, like, on my own again, and that's why I did, because with the snow in the winter, and I didn't want to be canceling shows. I didn't want to be doing all that. So I finally decided, you know what, I'm just going to, tired of driving 2 hours to the studio 2 or 3 times a week, a month rather, which sounds not a lot to some people, but I still promoted it like I do now. So it was a lot of work for somebody my age. Oh, I sound like one of 100. But anyway, you know all about radio. There's a lot of preparation. You don't just, I do kind of ad-lib my shows, but there's a lot of preparation before, and then there's a lot of after work to do. And I don't have any assistant, you know, that's going to do it for me. So getting back to what I was saying is that when I did my own and they called it Asbury Music Awards, decided to call me Ryan Radio, which is fine with me. That's fine because it is mine. It's Ryan Radio. So I got all these people sending me emails. Can you do a show for me Wednesday night? I'm leaving for Spain on Saturday, you know. And I always had tons of people to have on my show, but it all really escalated about 2.5 years ago. And then I was inundated with all kinds of people, and then they were telling other people. So I was doing people that have been on The View, and, you know, I said, wow, I really made it now, big time. So I really made it big time having Tom Cunningham on my show, too. You know, national radio station. I mean, I've been a chicken to even get in touch with any national radio stations. I've wanted to. You know, I've wanted to, but, like, I'm retired. I'm not, like... You know, I'm not like, as far as even the music, like, I didn't want to tour. I've been offered like 3 contracts for my music in my life. I don't, you know, I must be lazy. I mean, I used to be really full of, like, I work hard, but then, you know what it is? It's I'm not committal. I guess that's what it is, Tom. I can only commit to doing, like, your show, you know, and my show, like, once a month. I'm only doing once a month this year. Because I'm off to England, like, as soon as my cat Lillian goes to heaven, she's 20. I'm off to England to sing with this band and just get out there really on stage and do my thing because, you know, that's one of my dreams. And anyway, so getting back to this, I've been a watcher, like, most of my life, and just sang on the boardwalk and on the beach and in the parks. And I sing with everybody that asks me up. I get asked to sing all the time. But you have met many. And I saw you with Cher, and I saw you with Clarence. As I know, you must have been friends with Clarence. I loved Clarence. He was a good friend of mine. He offered to be on my play. We did it. He offered to be on it. We met up in Hawaii, and he listened to it, and he said, can I come over? I have something for you. And love Clarence. Love the band. And, you know, we're just blessed to be 60s generation upstage people, too. You know, I'm sure you were at the upstage.
No, that was upstage was way off my radar and way before my time.
Are you younger than me, Tom?
Absolutely.
Oh, Tom, darn it.
Yeah, oh, yes.
Generation.
Pardon?
When you said 60s generation, I thought, oh, good.
I said I was a kid in the 60s. I was.
Oh, I was a kid. I was born in 1946.
Yeah,
well. You don't have to say when you were born. You don't have to. It's all right. But I finally said, you know
what? I said I was a kid in the 60s.
Because I look some
absolutely.
Good. That's why. That's
so
why
how's
said,
our interview going here?
Horrible.
So we're doing good here today, right?
Oh, Tom, you're funny. So Okay, then I guess what can I say? I've experienced a little bit more music than you have.
Absolutely. That's why you're host. That's why you're the host over here.
Oh yeah, right. Yeah, that's right. That's right. Because I was at the upstage,
right.
You know. Wait a minute though. I also was at bars, you know, going to hear my brother, and I wasn't of age. You know, so take it back. I got to take it back a little bit. I can't make myself
sound
well. I tell people how old I am anyway. It doesn't matter anymore. I played a 55-year-old in a movie last summer. I was the Weight Watchers coach. I said, as long as you don't do any close-ups, and I've been offered other movies since. So I'm a busy girl. Yeah, I'm a busy girl.
That goes without saying. You can't keep up with you. You kidding?
Yeah, I was featured in a magazine. I went to Staten Island last Sunday, so it's a New York magazine, so I can't wait till that comes out. And they did all these great photos for me, and I thought, I could never afford to pay, now that I'm retired, these photographs that they took of me
over
Staten Island and facing Manhattan, and oh, it was great. But Tom, tell me, like, okay, so you're doing the talk for so long, and, like, what are your, like, future aspirations? I know, I loved it that you were at the Hall of Fame. Oh, bad on me that I missed the Hall of Fame New Jersey. And bad on
yes.
me that I've missed a lot of things lately. But I didn't miss, you know, when my brother – I never miss when my brother plays with Bruce, you know. So that I don't – I definitely don't miss. But I missed the – and I loved it that you were with little Steve, and I would have loved to meet him. Especially since he played on – I just interviewed Ricky Bird, who little Steven played on his album, Clean Water. I'll give him a shout-out while we're talking about little Steven. That was a great picture of you and little Steven, by the way.
Well, Steven –
and
you know,
I
Steven's,
used his promo.
First time I ever interviewed Steven and met Steve was in 1982 – when his Men Without Women album came out, his first solo album. And, you know, that's where, you know, we first met, whatever, and mm-hmm. talked to each other. And then, you know, I was on the radio, of course, back then in New Jersey, and was very supportive of Steven's solo career. And he always, you know, knew that. And then when... I got to 105.7 The Hawk. One of the big things that we really wanted to do was to get Little Steven's Underground Garage Show on The Hawk. And,
of course.
I mean,
yeah.
He had to be on. You know, he had to be on at the Shore, and you know, he had to be on 105.7 The Hawk. So we did accomplish that, and that you know, opened the door back up for, you know, interviewing Steven. And you know, Steven, when Steven's a part of the radio station, he's a part of the radio station, and he's a great partner. And he's
that.
Just a world class guy, and he is a tremendous interviewee. I mean, he is one of my all time favorite guests to have on the show. That goes without saying, just because
right.
he is a encyclopedic in his knowledge of music. I rarely cross paths with anybody as passionate as him about all of his various stuff that he's got. He's always got more than one thing going on, that's for sure.
Right.
And
right.
He is just he's a heck of a guy, and
right.
I'm happy to know him to the extent that I know him.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I was very happy. I didn't know until I interviewed, and of course, I got the albums that little Steven and Mark Ribbler. In fact, I talked to Mark, and Mark said, "Oh my God, tell Ricky, you know, that I said hello. We're good friends." And then, as I was reading the entire album, listening to it too, because it was so awesome. And then I saw that little Steven played on one of my favorite songs on the album. It's called "Clean Getaway." And it's just an awesome song, and I went and posted it to Little Steven's Underground Garage page, and they accepted it, of course, and that was really nice because he was part of the album, so of course they would accept it. I, by the way, am loud, and actually not. I'll use the word. I am welcomed. on 20 Bruce Springsteen group pages for the past 2.5 years. All of my radio shows go on there, on them. And it's really, it's like really awesome that I go, you're going to laugh. I laugh. I should be in the Book of World Records for the only female in the world allowed to post my radio show on 20 Bruce Springsteen group sites. You know, for 2.5 years, that's a long time. So, and it doesn't have to do with Bruce. Like, it doesn't have to be, you know, of course you would go on, of course, my God. You're the top. You know, I mean, this is a big feather in my cap. But a lot of people I've had on have been involved with the E Street Band. And actually, Gary, hello, sent me a message. And he goes, before his tour, his single tour, and he goes, Team Nancy, can you do a show for me? And I was like, I had done 3 shows that month. And I said, Gary, what, you know, and then the next day I was up all night. I'd even see it till the next day. And then he goes, can you do it tonight? And so I must say that, like, instead of saying yes, I said, I can't do any promo. And then I thought, well, why did you have to do promo? Just put the damn interview up there. In fact, I might stop promoting. I might just do surprise guests every single month. That would save me so much work. What do you think, Tom? Or I could just put Ryan Locks at Rip and put the name.
There you go.
Does that sound okay?
I think the world is your oyster. I think you're ready to just go make it happen. However you figure it out. You're so on it. So just go it.
Well, I could, yeah, but I still can't get into, like, you know, no, I don't have any press passes. I can't put, like, a, you know, I'd have to go with the national radio station to be able to, like, get into, well, unless I, like, I'm retired now, so, like, I don't want to buy a ticket for $100 when I promote live music for my whole life. And I just, you know, what can I say? People can say, oh, my gosh, she's cheap. No, I'm not. I'm retired. Hello. I'm retired. I'm spending my money on my CDs and on my radio show and, you know, on whatever I do, on my going to England, you know, to promote my music. That's going to be fabulous because, like, I have a song in the top 10 in the nation country for, like, the same amount of time I've been doing radio consecutive. I've been number 2 forever, you know, up into the two. I just can't knock this one group out called The Rain. And so I have some really dynamite music on my Ryan Rocks. Rocks, go get it. Or I'll send it to you. But I made a mistake, and I didn't put 99-cent uploads on it, or I would have money, my and Hall of Fame tickets paid for and all that. But the person that did it for me didn't think, like, forward, and so I didn't do that because I've had so many hits for that song. It's, like, incredible. It's called Indecision. It keeps knocking at my door. Oh, I want to talk about Lil Steven. Tell me more about this album that he did, Men Without Women. Where are they? I'm single. 18 years now. Where are the men without women? Oh, I got to call little Steven up. I would have loved to meet him, darn it.
Well, I don't think his wife, Maureen, I wouldn't make that call if Maureen Van Zandt was around, because that's not a call you would want to make.
No,
that was his 1982 album. So, you know, hopefully between then and now, all the men without women who need to find women have found women. Let's hope that has happened successfully between now and 1982 when that album came out.
Okay, well, I'm very happy for men then. But what about all the women, you know, that, like, I guess we outnumber the men. Like, what happened to that, you know? I'm going to write a book now. What about Women Without Men? Right now, when a man is married, I'm very, very, no, I'm very, stay away from that. No, completely. But if I had been there and could, hey, little Steven, I'm Nancy Ryan Locks, how are you? Most people know Billy, and that's like a shoo-in, usually.
I'm sure Steven goes way back with your brother. Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. And I'd love to interview him on my show, of course. So, and my friend Beverly Beveridge. Hey, Beverly, where are you? You know, the day of the show, it's my own fault. She doesn't have to remind me of shows. But I just wasn't unaware. You know, it came up so fast, and I've been really busy. So I just.
There you go.
That's okay. There are always other opportunities. That's
all
what
right.
I say.
So
we can turn around. Hey, so
yep.
Anyway, what are your aspirations for the future as you, like, climb this ever so? Will you just keep on going, you know, like the Energizer Bunny with your
well,
you know?
My aspirations for the future are to continue to do the best possible show every Sunday morning, to get in there and kick ass for 2 hours. You know, I would like to hope that I would be able to do it for 25 years. I don't know what the technology will be like in radio 10 years from now, but I'm hoping that I'm still able to. I would love to be able to hit the 25-year mark. So that is my my little greedy short-term, long-term goal is to say that the Bruce Brunch made it to the 25-year mark. I would really
I would really
like to be able to pull that off.
Well, I
have a blast. It's a lot of work. People who listen to the show regularly know that I'm well prepared and I'm on top of what I need to be on top of. So I will always continue to do that. And I love it, and I've met so many great people and have had the good fortune to interact with people from all around the world who love Bruce's music, who love the Jersey Shore music scene. That's
right.
The kind of thing that keeps me going, and that's what I take with me in and out of that radio studio every Sunday morning.
Right, right. Yeah, I can totally relate. I mean, I haven't been doing this as long as you have by any stretch of the imagination, but I understand, you know, what the hosting is all about and the love and the passion that you have to be a success of it and have people want to listen to your radio show. And there is a lot. There's like there's a lot of competition in the radio business, and so. Everybody knows who you are, too, for sure. That is a for sure, and will continue to. And I, too, really enjoy supporting the live music in Asbury Park since I grew up in Asbury Park and Allenhurst. But I was in Asbury, like I went to Asbury Park High School 1 year. I went to private schools as well. But I'll tell you, there's nothing like growing up in the music. I believe that Asbury Park should be the music capital of the world of one day. And, you know, we're working on it. I guess we are the music capital in New Jersey. But I've had so many wonderful guests, and you have been a super awesome guest and really awesome guest. I've learned a lot, and I'm sure that other people have learned a lot and said, wow, you know, that's a big, accomplishment. And
I appreciate you having me on. I thank you. I wish you nothing but good luck and continued success. And I always look forward to running into you out and about at the Jersey Shore.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you so much.
So,
it's been a delight having you. And I started doing this to have not-for-profits. And I started out with Minister Steve of Lakewood. And then I have like 11 of the best not-for-profits in the state of New Jersey. And people keep, you know, through people like you even. I mean, like, if you have people that you want to recommend and say, hey, you need to be on, like, actually Michelle Moore was. Somebody said she was going to be on Sirius Radio. And somebody told her, a friend of mine from Freehold, actually, where Bruce grew up, said, hey, you've got to be on my opposite Asbury Park style. So Monique Moore drove all the way to Trenton, and I have it on a flash drive, but I don't have it archived, and so I have to really get it up and let people listen to it, because she was a wonderful, wonderful guest. And people have just, like, you know, I'm running out of musicians, and then I've interviewed people that are writing books about Bruce, and, you know, Barbara Quinn, and it snowballs is what happens, you know, it all snowballs.
Yeah.
And,
well,
you know, Mike
you're doing your thing,
to,
and I wish you nothing but success and continued rocking on. Well, this has been a very quick 45 minutes. Boy, this went fast, and I want to thank you for again for having me on. So I'll see you down the road.
Thank you so much. And you keep on keeping on. It was a wonderful show. I really enjoyed it. And again, like I said, it was a blast having Tom Cunningham of Bruce Brunch via 105.7 The Hawk. Thank you so much, Tom. Have a great evening.
Thank you. Have a good night.
Summer.
We'll see you soon.
Yes.
All right.
You
bye
too.
Now.
Okay. Bye-bye now. Well, that was really a fun time. I had some great laughs. We had some great laughs. So Tom is gone. And I hope I didn't, you know, take over the show too much. I try not to. I learned a lot about, he was a wonderful guest. And I'm sure he has so much to share. You know, he'll have to be on again sometime. And I'll continue to promote and put this out there, this interview. So I must get now, right now down to basics and then sign off for the night. My time is up. I want to go through my not-for-profits. And they are, and I hope you enjoy the show, they are Minister Steve Brigham of Tent City of Lakewood, Gregory and Karen Nixon, Helping Hands of New Jersey, Allison Sato, City of Angels, Recovery Radio, Bev Cruz, Hit the Streets for the Homeless, Michael Schwartz, Hometown Heroes, Carlos Rodriguez, Director of the Food Bank of Monmouth and Ocean Counties, Paul A. Ressler, President and CEO of Tupac, the Overdose Prevention Agency Corporation, Mr. Tim McClune, founder of Holiday Express, and he is a restaurateur, extraordinary restaurateur, a tongue twister, Patricia Ario, artist, the Info Age Science History Learning Center and Museum, and also actually she, I'm not sure she's still there, actually Patricia has her own, she's still doing a lot of not-for-profit things, but she has her own studio now, so look her up. All of these people have been on my show and also are on Facebook, have Facebook pages. Philip Richards, director of the Jersey Shore Rescue Mission, Asbury Park on Memorial Drive. Please get involved with them. And they have a thrift shop as well, a huge thrift shop. Also, Nick Clemens and Barb Dietz, Bullying, We're Kicking It, and as well. So those are my not-for-profits. And I want to mention, and I'm not sure where my – oh, here it is. I do have a few sponsors for my radio show, and one of them is helping giving me a beautiful holiday Hollywood smile so that I can be in some more movies, which I love doing. I did my debut last summer, my speaking acting debut, and it was so much fun. And it's Dr. Ina Silman. Her and her husband have three offices, and their latest one is right on Broadway in Long Branch, New Jersey. Fabulous dentist, Ina Silman is my personal dentist, and she's just a wonderful, so I highly recommend them. And Dr. David Marin, who is a chiropractor, and he's with the Marin Wellness Center. They're in Shrewsbury, New Jersey. They're off Avenue of the Americas, and they have a wonderful doctor, too, a physical therapy, Dr. Raj. And I have been there several times, and I intend on going back again to strengthen my core so that I can be active till I'm 100 years old. So with that said, thank you so much, everyone, for tuning in. The show's archived. I'm going to say goodnight and have a wonderful, wonderful Memorial weekend. And I'm going to give a shout-out to Stone Pony. Oh, my God, one of my favorites, Kiefer Sutherland, is going to be performing. I love him as an actor. I love his father, Donald Sutherland, as an actor. And I saw Kiefer's band on TV. So I'll give my friend Kyle Brindle a big shout-out, too, and the people over at the Pony who are going to do the summer stage. And it's going to be like an awesome summer for everyone. Be safe and be happy. Goodbye, everybody. This is Nancy Ryan, Ryan Rock, signing off.